We live on the brink every day. We stand on the threshold between this world and the next one. We live and move between ordinary and divine, between the mundane and the mystery, a place where the light of God is gleaming in our midst. Too often, we forget to look up and see the angels in our own living room. We forget that the love we give and live is a sign of eternity. God is with us right now. We forget that Jesus is coming home.
Luke tells us that God's favor came to a girl, an ordinary girl. It might have been you or your daughter. It might have been the girl down the street or your grandchild. But the messenger of God came and greeted her and said, "The Lord is with you." What a gift and a promise. Emmanuel, God is with us.
We light these candles with love in our hearts and promise of proximity and nearness of God. Even when we forget to listen, to lean on the presence, on His presence, God is close as our own breath. This is a confused and confusing world that in the love is gleaming in. It is the love of God coming home.
O come Emmanuel.
The candle of love.
Good morning. I'm Laura Murphy, and I am a pastor here filling in today, and it is a joy to be with you. I am a representative also from the Missouri United Methodist Foundation, and at the Methodist Foundation, what we do is we help churches with financial stewardship, with investments, from planned giving, and leadership development, as well as one of the best things is we get to give grants. And I know this church was a recipient of one of our grants earlier this year in the summer, in the spring. And it was a response to the COVID concerns. We gave out a lot of technology grants. And your church pastor and leadership saw that opportunity, filled out a grant request, and received that. And it was for technology, and it is a joy that I get to be here now and be part of that technology with you. But one of the other things that I get to do as a work as a pastor, as well as my work with the foundation, is I also get to go preach in churches. I get to go give some of our pastors rest and renewal when they need it most, and that is one of the things that I'm able to do for your pastor, and so I am glad to be here. And when Pastor Cassie told me that your worship series right now was coming home, I was delighted, because to be home for Christmas is an amazing thing that we all yearn for. And then that song, "I'll be home for Christmas." Well, one thing it's done for me this week is I have sung that song all week in preparation for today, and I'm glad, because that is a real special song to me. It has always been one that I just kind of am attracted to, that it seems to stand out louder than the others for me at Christmas time. And that's probably because my husband and I and our three kids, we are the ones that move far away from everybody else. Where it's always been at Christmas time, just us. Not a lot of family around us, not a lot of fanfare. It's always small gatherings. Maybe you're in the same boat. Maybe you're one that also has always just been a few of you to gather, to worship the Christ on Christmas morning together. And maybe for you, it is simply that less is more for Christmas that my husband and I have kind of learned how to embrace as well. But I think maybe for more of us, though, this year, It's been a very difficult, different kind of year, knowing that Christmas will be small gatherings for so many of us. And then the thought that is difficult too, that Christmas Eve is probably the most attended worship service across the world, and yet this Christmas, many of us will not have in-person worship. And we're trying to deal with how that feels not to come home to our home church at Christmas. You know, for years, my husband and I, we yearned to be in our childhood homes. We wanted to be there at my family on Christmas Eve as they gathered, and with his family as they gathered on Christmas Day. But it was just us, the five of us, the kids, my husband and I. But I do remember, somewhere along the line, there was a turning point for me, a point where my heart no longer yearned to be anywhere other than right where we were at that moment at Christmas. And I can remember when it happened. It was on a chaotic Christmas Eve. You know, it was one of those where my husband had gotten called into work, even though he'd planned to be home that day, he ended up having to work. We had the three kids, and one of them in particular was acting out that day. I was trying to figure out how were we going to make Christmas Day special for these kids and think about what the meal was going to be and do a little prep work ahead of time. The house was a mess. It was chaos. And then all of a sudden, it hit me. If Jesus can show up in a dirty manger and with the mess of the stable, with no fanfare and just a few people around him, then I knew at that moment that Jesus was going to show up in our home and be part of the mess of our life, no matter where we were on Christmas Day. No matter where we were, the love light would gleam. God would show up. Now, before I get too far ahead of myself talking about how the love light gleams, because that's kind of the focus of our service today, let me go to our scripture. It's taken out of Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. If you recall, this is the spot where Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, knows that she will be having a baby, and it's going to be John the Baptist. And it's in Elizabeth's 6th month of pregnancy. The angel that had came and spoken to her now comes and speaks to Mary. And so I will start with verse 26. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of meaning they might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will receive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the 6th month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, something that I was taught when a long time ago is that when you read scripture, you really should go with questions in your mind about how does this work? How does this happen? What are the things I don't understand? Or what things do I want to learn more about? And trust me, I have so many questions about the scripture, but today I'm just going to take it down to one or two here to start out with. And they might seem silly, but the first thing I always think of in this was, Mary awake? Or was she dreaming when this angel came? It's easy to think that an angel would come in a dream because that's how the angel came to Joseph. I know a few weeks ago that was part of your sermon as well, where you heard that Joseph had a dream. And so that's how God spoke to Joseph, was in that dream. And later on, we will find out too that, again, God will speak to Joseph in a dream when he has to pick up his family and flee to Egypt. That seems to be the way God is communicating with Joseph. But for Mary today, it doesn't say precisely that Mary is awake or asleep, but it's pretty easy to figure out she must be awake, that this angel just shows up right there in the messiness of her life. It doesn't say whether maybe she was walking to the market, or maybe she was in her kitchen or out doing her chores or leaving a friend's house. It doesn't tell us exactly where, but right there, somehow in her life, the angel showed up to Mary. And that's where I have another question. What was the angel like? The clues we have from that scripture is that it was a he, it was referred to as a he, and named Gabriel. But other than that, there isn't much description of an angel. There's no mention of wings or if he's dressed in white and with a big light behind him, kind of how we think angels might be. And that makes me think, maybe this angel Gabriel that came to talk to Mary that day was just a regular old angel, just a person that God was speaking through that was around Mary. Might have even been somebody related to her because the same angel had spoken to her cousin Elizabeth. But the gospel writer, Luke, where I've just read that scripture from, theologians think that Luke really wanted to get a firsthand account of everything that had happened in Jesus' life and in his ministry. So they think that Luke literally went and interviewed, like a reporter, all the different people that had been part of this movement of Christianity started by Jesus. And that makes us think that he probably went back and talked to Mary. Can you just see Mary, you know, about 40 years after the birth of her first son? A mother doesn't forget those kind of things. There's memories that stand out for a mother. And so as she sits and she talks to Luke, I can just picture her thinking back to that stressful time in her life where she knows that she's going to marry Joseph, but things just don't feel right. And soon she's going to find out she's pregnant, and this person appears, this angel. And so as she tells Luke, I could just see her say, you know, in all that stress, one day an angel appeared. Now, maybe that person didn't really look like an angel that day to her, but you know, looking back, as she accounts everything that happened in her life, she really sees that it was an angel that came and spoke to her. Now, have you ever heard people describe an encounter that they've had with a special person as an experience with an angel? I have. And when people talk about that description of what happened, rarely can they tell me many details about the person. But I always hear them telling me about the experience, the encounter, and describe it. And they tell me it was an angel who spoke to me. And they also usually talk in that experience about how life changed at that moment. That person showing up and speaking truth into their life was a turning point. Often that person brought peace, an assurance that it was all going to be okay. With whatever was going on, life was going to be okay. And could that be what is happening here? That God wanted to show up in Mary's life and let her know that everything was going to be okay. Everything was going to be okay for her and for this pregnancy and for her baby and even the life of her baby. But you know, if God shows up and all that power and might that we kind of expect God to have, if God showed up in that power and might, would we recognize it? Would it scare us? Would it overwhelm us? Would it be something that we would just really not be able to comprehend and take seriously? That might be the case. And so I think God shows up in angels, everyday common angels. For me, it's a reminder that God shows up all the time in the messiness of our lives. God shows up with skin and clothes on, but not always in the way that we think God is going to show up, or the way that God is going to show his love. But God does show up. You know, it really makes me think of my friend Harvey. Harvey and I had gone to church together. We'd been on many mission trips together. And Harvey didn't really expect God to show up on the loading dock of his work. And Harvey really didn't expect it to be a guy that he used to work with that he hadn't seen in a long time. Harvey told me that one day, as he's out on the dock, this guy that he worked with, a buddy, had shown up. And just came walking right over to Harvey and said, "Hey, I was thinking about you, pal. I wanted to stop in and say hi." And they talked a little bit, and pretty soon his friend said, "So how's your wife?" And I could just see Harvey drop his head at that moment, because I know Harvey at that stage of his life, and he was hurting because his wife was pretty sick. Due to diabetes, she had lost her eyesight, and now at this point she is on dialysis, and they knew that the future was grim unless she could get a donor for a new kidney. So Harvey spoke just very point blank and told his buddy, "Not doing real good. And if she doesn't get a kidney soon, we don't know what we're going to do. Things are grim." His friend looked at him and said, "She can have one of my kidneys." And Harvey goes, "Yeah, right. It doesn't work that way. Just not like anybody can give her a kidney. There's all kinds of things. You got to have a good match. And that's why we don't have one yet, because there hasn't been a match." His buddy goes, "Yeah, I'll be a match." And Harvey goes, "No, you know, it's just not going to happen. But I do hope that you will donate your kidney to somebody." And so he gave his friend the information of how to go online, print off this information, fill it out, and mail it down to KU Med Center, and that they would contact him and get him tested to see if he'd be a match for somebody. So his friend went home, printed off the information, and he didn't mail it in. He didn't hit send on the email. He printed it off, took it down, and he took it right to where it needed to go and said, "Hey, I'm here and I'm delivering this because I'm going to give my kidney to my friend's wife." And the people said, "It doesn't quite work that way, but we'll get back to you and you can have some testing done." He goes, I'm here now, do the testing now. And he was so persuasive that he got them to do the testing. Within a few days, he found out, sure enough, he was a perfect match for Harvey's wife. Now I know Harvey, and he's bigger than life. And I have watched how deep his faith is. But you know what? He had his doubts. He had his doubt that God would show up on the dock of work in a coworker, a person he hadn't seen in a long time. And we all have those doubts of whether God is going to show up or not. And it just shows that God shows up in ways that we don't expect, in ways that we don't think it's going to happen. But God showed up there. And that year, a few days before Christmas, Harvey's wife got her kidney. You know, Harvey walked around that whole Christmas just perplexed. Perplexed and in awe. And he would say, "How can this be? How did this all work out this way?" It was in delight, but he was also perplexed and confused. And I am sure that through his angel, God spoke to him in his own kind of way and said, "The Holy Spirit has come upon you. Come upon you and your wife, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Now, I have a friend that has a term for this. It's a quote that she always has from her grandmother. When people are in awe and wonderment, and they can't believe just what happened, the line from her grandmother always is, "Huh, look at God. Look at God." Now, I don't believe that God just shows up in those really horrible, weird moments like in needing a kidney. He does show up there, but that's not the only place. I know God shows up in our everyday lives when we need something to happen. I saw it happen in my own family. It was last January. My dad was in the hospital, and it was a dark time for him. He had fought off an illness that had tried to take him, and he had fought that off, and he was healing. But his body just couldn't get the strength back that it needed so that he could go home and live on a regular basis, back where he really wanted to be with his home and his family. And all of us that have hit those kind of setbacks know that depression starts to set in, and it can feel very lonely, even with people all around you. And I guess one evening, close to the time where the doctors were trying to decide what to do next, of whether he could go home, and it was a tough night, and my mom, she had left to go home for herself for the evening, when evidently that evening there was a knock on his hospital door. And in came a woman that was his physical therapist, the woman he had just worked with earlier that day, but she was out of her normal work clothes and is in clothes that people would have on every day, and with her was her husband. And she said, "Oh, you know what? I happen to know that you're a big Michigan State Spartan fan." And my dad is. My whole family is. It's where I went to school. A lot of my family did. And my dad says, "Yeah." She goes, "Well, so is my husband. And we just got thinking, the basketball game is on tonight, and we'd love to have you be able to see it. We know you can't get it here at the hospital, so we brought our little Roku stick, and we can put it in the TV and hook it up to the internet, and we can watch the game together." And that's what happened. That night, my dad was not alone. He was amongst people that were strangers that quickly became friends. And that night, everything changed for him. His attitude changed. His outlook changed. And you know, this couple in a small town hospital probably didn't look like God to anybody that night. But I believe it was God showing up through them, giving my dad hope, letting him feel like he's not alone, giving him somebody around him that could just walk the journey with him. I believe that woman was an angel that night. I'd really like to go hunt her down and say, "So what made you go and watch basketball at the hospital again after your full day of work and drag your husband along with you?" I wonder what she would say. I have a feeling that she would say something like, "You know, I saw somebody that needed help, and I showed up." I know God shows up for a lot of people, not just my friends and for my dad. I know they show up. God shows up for all kinds of people every day of our lives. And the reason why I know this is because I'm a pastor. And not that I have a secret way into knowing this, other than people love to tell me about their God moments. They love to come and say, "Oh, Pastor Laura, I need to tell you what happened." And it's probably one of the best parts about my job, because I get to hear about how God is at work everywhere, every day. And one particular parishioner stands out in my mind. He and I were walking a journey because his brother was dealing with addiction. And it was hard on everyone. His brother had a family and lived ways away, but I watched the toll it was taking on my parishioner. And he would come and meet with me often, and we would talk and we would pray. And every time we'd pray, I would specifically say, "God, please put positive people in the path of this man's brother. Put positive people there that will speak truth into his life, that will care for him and care for their whole family." After many months, I realized my parishioner wasn't around much, and I found out that he had left to go to the other side of the country to work with his brother and his family during a very difficult time in crisis. And then one day I found out he was back in town. And sure enough, he was knocking on my door, and he says, "Pastor, I got to talk to you. I got to talk to you about all the positive people that have been in my path and my brother's path this past month." He says, "You know, one of those positive persons, they sat with us and my family when we had so much worry and when things looked really bad. Another one of those people brought some answers and assurance when we were in the midst of the worst of the crisis." He says even one of them reminded them about the importance of laughter and what a healing balm that is, even during a difficult time. He literally told me about all these people. They were his angels. He said a peace came over them in the situation because these people spoke into their life, that they were there with them. They were people that brought them assurance that everything was going to be okay. Again, I believe God showed up. In these moments, it's like God saying, "Don't be afraid, favored one. The Lord is with you." Now, we are all going to face things looking different this Christmas. We've had 9 months of facing everything looking different for us. And I realize that this Christmas you may have worries for yourself, but some of you also might have worries about other ones. People that are friends and family that you normally gather with. People that you would love to see and be with that you can't be with this year. Again, I've been there. I understand that worry. I remember it was just a few years ago. Our youngest son was spending his first Christmas away from the family all by himself. He worked retail in Chicago and he couldn't get the time off to come back to Missouri to be with us, even if it was even going to be a few days after Christmas. That whole season, he had to be in Chicago and we wouldn't be together. It was really hard on all of us. And on that particular Christmas Eve, you know, as a pastor, I'm leading Christmas Eve services. We had multiple services. And even though I was present with my congregation, and I love being part of Christmas Eve services, there was something in the back of my mind, the back of my mother's mind here, that made me think about my son. My mind would drift off to him. So I was so relieved after the last service. I looked down, and there was a text message from our son. And you know, I've saved that text message. I've saved it, and I go back to it about every Christmas, and I'd like to share with you what it said. His text message said, "It's been unique this past week here in Chicago, seeing Muslims, Jews, Hindus, and Buddhists all live, work, and operate businesses together in the city. It makes spending Christmas away a little bit less lonely. It also made me aware of something bigger. For example, even though Christmas looks more secular this way, it isn't necessarily a bad thing. Because tonight at work, everyone went around and gave each other hugs and said Merry Christmas before we locked up and left to go to our different homes. It showed me that when the hype is stripped away from Christmas, the love of humanity is what remains. I saw it tonight." Look at God. Look at God showing up at a store on Christmas Eve to a bunch of diverse misfits. Another reminder of Emmanuel. Another reminder that God is with us. God is everywhere. God spoke to my often God-doubting son, to the people that he worked with. I remember thinking when I read that text that night, oh, this kid just might understand God better than all the rest of us that had gathered here in church tonight. And I also remember thinking that God spoke to me that night. He spoke to me as a mom because I was reminded that God was showing up for our son no matter where he was spending Christmas. And that gave me a sense of peace. A peace that comes from the power of the Most High. A peace that overshadows everything else. It's where I saw the love light gleam. Folks, the good news of the gospel is that God does show up. God favors us. God sends his Holy Spirit to come over us and over our lives. And the good news is that God was extending that not just to Mary, but God was extending it to all of us. Every one of us has received an invitation to help give birth to the kingdom of God, the opportunity to experience God here on earth. Every one of us has the opportunity to see God's love and see God's love light gleam through. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you have brought something so special into our lives that we cannot even really figure out how to describe it, but we can experience it. The experience of your love and grace, the experience of hope that you sent into this world thousands of years ago, but yet still lives deep in our society, in our lives, and where we are today. God, I pray for the congregation of Broadway United Methodist Church. I pray that each and every one of them will experience you showing up in their lives and that they too will be your instruments to show up in the lives of others. In your name we pray. Amen.